and that I am thy servant. These things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that thy people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up all the water that was in the trenches. Don't you know we serve a great and a mighty God? The same things that he did for Jesus, the same thing he did for Elijah, God will do the same thing for us. That's pretty powerful at how Elijah prayed, and immediately, there was no waiting there. Immediately, God sent down the fire, and it burned up everything. It consumed the altar, it consumed the sacrifice, it consumed all the water, and it consumed the stones that he had laid there. We know that God will answer our prayers just like he did Elijah's. But our hearts have to be open to him in prayer. And if we are willing to do these things, the Bible said if we're willing and if we're obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. Amen. We will continue on in our next lesson on the prayer and the provisions that God has given us, just how important they are and how easy it is to pray.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at 4501 Jackson Street Extension, Suite C, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to call your attention to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. And I want to commence reading as we talk about the blood of Jesus today and the healing power that is in that blood. It's definitely in the blood. But you're going to see that before it was manifested in the blood, it was manifested in the Word. And so Matthew chapter 8 verse 1 says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And I think I need to tell you before I go any further, in this first verse it says, when he was come down from the mountain, this is when he went up in Matthew 5 1 and 2, saw the great multitude, set himself down and taught them from the 5th chapter, the 6th chapter, the 7th chapter, and finally in the 8th chapter, he comes down. All right. Verse 2 says, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in the presence of God. I want to talk about a cure for the unclean. A cure for the unclean. Now, may I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that many of us in today's time do not suffer from nor have symptoms of leprosy. But I do submit that we do have some uncleanliness that we need to be cured from. There are so many things about the text I want to just jump in and share with us to help us, because when this message is over, what you should discover is the fact that there is no uncleanliness that the Lord cannot cure. No matter how deep, no matter how dark, no matter how destructive it may be, God is in the cleansing business. And so there's hope for the hopeless. And there is, again, a word for us today that I would that you'd focus on. Look again, because one of the things that I want you to see is this man is a believer. He may have leprosy, but he's a believer. He's called a leper, but he's a believer. And what I want to say, first of all, is don't ever let your condition overshadow who you really are. His condition was not greater than his character. His condition was not greater than his confidence. His condition was not greater than his resolve. And so I want you to see this, because the Bible says he was a leper. Verse 1 again, the 8th chapter of Matthew. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes, plural, followed him. After all of the great teaching and ministering that Jesus had done in the first three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, now he has finished those teachings and he's coming down the mountain, but the people are still following him. But now there is something different now, as opposed from the beginning in Matthew 5 to now Matthew 8. The difference is the word that he ministered to them, he taught them on the mountain, activated their faith at the bottom of the mountain. People who went up broken and messed up and unclean and undone when they went on up to the mountain now had a new resolve and a new hope when Jesus came down the mountain. And they wanted to listen at this, not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. What sense does it make to get all that good word and don't ever put it to the test? What sense does it make for you to come on Sunday morning, put your good clothes on, your good smell good on, all of that good stuff, come here, get a good word, and go back out and live a defeated life? Listen, the enemy challenges us every day. The fact that he challenges us and we're still here says he's not conquered us. So if he's not conquered us and he's still challenging us, it means God can still change us or our situations. And so when you begin to realize that you must apply the word of God to your every situation and walk by faith, then you bring the reality of the word heard alive in you and your situation. I love the faith of this leper. Now again, he was called a leper, and that meant he was diseased, one, and not sound in his flesh. He was called a leper. That meant, too, that he was unclean, and he was polluting society if he were allowed to remain there because of the disease. It was a very contagious and infectious disease. Three, he was a leper, so therefore he was separated and shut out from fellowship and privilege. Four, he was a leper, so that means he was incurable. Listen, beyond all human skill and hope. Now listen at this now. He was a leper. But underneath the leprosy, he was a believer. See, some of y'all are missing that because you don't understand. If you would liken it to the day, you might have cancer. But underneath the cancer, you're a believer. You might have AIDS. But underneath the AIDS, you might have lupus or diabetes or high blood pressure. But underneath that, come on, talk to me, somebody. Don't let your condition, your issues, your situations affect the fact that you are a believer. And listen, whatever is on you in that context has been delivered by the enemy, and you need to know it don't belong to you. So you may be wrestling to get this stuff off of you, but never ever lose sight of the fact that you are a believer. Listen. I want you to see what this believer did. The record was he was a leper. But the text clearly shows he was a believer, because look at what the Bible says. And I want you to see this. Verse 2 says, and behold, focus in now, there came a leper. Isn't it amazing how society will rename you? It didn't reveal the man's name. It just revealed the man's condition. And be careful that you don't become what they call you underneath the skin. Listen again. And behold, there came a leper. But look at what he did. And worshiped him. Now, you don't see nobody else doing that. May I submit to you again, he's a believer. And as a believer, he's doing what a believer does. And he's not letting his condition stop him from worshiping. So that means we need to get off our excuses about our ailments and our illnesses and stop acting like we can't worship him in our condition. See, if you're a believer, you believe in this condition is going to change any moment, any day, any time. So it is not going to hinder you from worshiping God. You're going to give him your best as best you can. He finds Jesus, and the record is, and worship him. Listen, saying, Lord, not master, not teacher, not Rabboni, but Lord, which signified that Jesus was head over all things. In other words, he was going down in worship to lift up the one who's already at the top, the one who was in control, Lord. Listen, he recognized him as Lord, being the potentate and power that he was. And so in worshiping him as Lord, look at what he says to him, a believer. He says, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Now listen at this. The man was already in violation. He came out the closet. Tell somebody, if you want to get clean, you got to come out the closet. That's why some of you can't get clean, because you won't come out the closet. You won't make clear what your condition, what your issue is. He came out the closet and said, listen, Lord, fell down and worshiped him. If thou will, I know you can make me right. I know you can clean me up from underneath the skin to on top of the skin. Because remember now, he was separated from fellowship and privilege. He did not have a right to be within certain feet of human civilization because, again, of the infectious disease that was very contagious. But listen at this now. He comes to the only source of help. He not only hears a message of faith, but he heeds the message of faith. And he goes straight to Jesus. And he falls down and worships Jesus. And then he says, Lord, if you will. I love the fact that in your condition, you got to learn how to focus. Because there are some people who don't ever want you to get well, who don't ever want you to get right, who don't ever want you to get clean. But don't focus on them, because they'll discourage you. But you got to learn to focus on the Lord. If thou willst, I know you can make me clean. Now listen at this now, because he is operating in faith. I want you to see again, because we need to focus on what he did. First, he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus, his source. Listen at this, the fountain of living water. He came to Jesus. So many of us are so lazy, we always want the Lord to come to us. In our prayers, Lord, stop by here. Won't you go where he is? I know he's everywhere and everything, but this has been designated as his house. Won't you try to come to his house? Listen, Jesus didn't find the leper found Jesus. And the record was he came to Jesus. But I want you to note too that he came in the presence of the crowd, not ashamed. I said he came in the presence of the crowd, not ashamed. The law said he couldn't come, but he said, you know, that reaches a point in time when you got to do what the Lord said, especially when the law hinders what the law said, what the Lord says. And so while he recognized that his healing and his deliverance depended upon him getting to Jesus, he came out of the closet, he came out of the foreshadows, and he confronted Jesus in the midst of the crowd. Now, one of the things I got to help you understand and let you see from the text is the crowd didn't prevent him from presenting his situation to the Lord once he made his mind up. Let me help you understand it. That would be folk in your way, blocking you, trying to stop you until they know they can't do it. And listen to this. He was infectious, so wasn't nobody about to put a hand on him. So he made up his mind, I'm getting closer to Jesus. People start. I wish I had a helper in the house. And so he was not ashamed. What they gonna say? Oh, there go that leper? That's what they already called him. Why won't many of us get our healings? Because we're ashamed of what the folk gonna say. I got news for you. They're already talking about you. They're already whispering. They're already saying this about you. Don't let what they say keep you from getting what belongs to you. So he came in the presence of the crowd, not ashamed. Some folk want people to pray for them, but they don't want to tell them what to pray for. Come on up. What you up for? I need prayer. Well, yeah, special prayer. They don't want just regular prayer. They want special prayer. Well, what's the problem? Well, just pray for me. Okay. Just pray for you. Well, here is what this man came to Jesus and said. Listen, he said, as he came worshiping him in deep and unfeigned reverence, it was a sincere worship experience. Because listen to this, he was honored to worship the Lord. And this is a helpful holy hint. Can I say, before you go begging the Lord all the time, can you take out a little time and just worship him? If you call him Lord, then you ought to worship him as Lord. And once you've worshiped him as Lord, gotten his attention that you know who he is, because he knows who he is. But when you know who he is and you worship him, now you've got his attention. When you've got his attention, now you are able to get what it is you want from the Lord. And listen at this. He came confessing his need. I'm dirty.
That's right. That's right.
I need you to clean me. He acknowledged his real condition. Amen. Listen again at what he says. He says to the Lord, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Notice he didn't just say, Lord, if you will, you can cleanse me from leprosy. He didn't even bring up the word leprosy. See, because leprosy was a symptom of a deeper condition. And it was the uncleanness that produced leprosy. So if you get rid of the source, you get rid of the symptoms. See, what folk don't understand is we're around here putting topical solutions on issues underneath the skin. And while you might be able to get a little stuff off the surface, if you don't get it underneath the skin in the root of the issue, then once again, it rises up again because the source is still there. It's going to reproduce the symptoms all over again. But this man says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And if he cleans underneath the skin, he won't have leprosy on top of the skin. And listen at this word, my brothers and sisters, because it's so important. He acknowledges his real condition, and it was a state of uncleanness. You see, some of the things that we really deal with are just the symptoms of the real source. If we would check the word and understand how God operates in his word and how Satan tried to counter the word of God and the people of God, we'll understand that if we really want to get to root issues, we've got to say to the Lord, Lord, I got a problem. Lord, I'm not all that I am cracked up to be. Lord, there's some issues underneath my skin. Lord, there's some things I need you to straighten up. I need you to clean up. I need you to take out of me. I need you to make right for me. See, there are just some things that are not going to work for you until you go to the root cause of your condition. And this man's cause was uncleanliness. And so I want you to see what he received. First of all, he received what he hadn't received from man in a long time, and that was a touch. You don't understand the power of a touch. Especially if it's what's called the wanted touch. You know, you don't want everybody, and you don't want anybody, but the right somebody, when they, something happened. Y'all look like y'all ain't been touched in a while. It just does something. You can be, and they tell you, okay. All right, okay. The right touch has an effect on you. Have I got a witness in the house? But the wrong person touch you in repentance. Don't touch me. Don't do that. Don't. Back up, Jack. Don't do that. It's like an electrocution almost to your system. It's bad vibes, bad spirit. You know something, just don't touch me. Mm-mm. And so he had not enjoyed a human touch, less known a divine touch, in quite a while. The first thing, look at the text, because I want you to see this, and I'm closing. And Jesus, listen again, verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Listen. Jesus and his authoritative word and presence manifested itself in his touch, which said that he was not afraid. He took authority over the situation. He knew who he was and he knew what he could do. The man knew who he was and the man knew what he could do. And so when Jesus touched him, which again would have been in any other case a transference of the leprosy from the man to Jesus. But Jesus had power. He did call him Lord. And if it's Lord, then that means he's over. Authoritatively so. More powerful and more potent than any problem or condition. And so Jesus touches the leprosy. And here's what I want you to understand. The man got clean because when Jesus touched the leprosy died instead of the man. Listen at this. Because the leprosy was the outer effect of the inner problem. And when Jesus touched the man, everything that was unclean by the righteous hand of God suddenly became clean. And the thing that was living unclean in the power of an unclean spirit and authority, once the clean righteous hand of the touch of Jesus touched it, all that stuff died. So the spirit that caused the uncleanness died. And so if the spirit that caused the uncleanness to die died, then the leprosy on top of the skin had to die because it had nothing to keep it alive. Y'all not hearing me here. And it happened with a touch. And then look at what Jesus says while he's touching him. The record says, "See thou, tell no man." Now listen to this. Jesus has just come off the mountain. He's just beginning to operate in his ministry. He's not ready for this word to circulate yet. He's still got some work to do on planet Earth. He's already got multitudes of people following him. But notice what he says, because there's also another reason why he says, tell no man. See, sometimes, one of the things, Jesus does things decently in order. And what he doesn't want the man to do is get sidetracked by his healing and deliverance and forget to do what he's supposed to do and follow protocol. So he said, listen, you can tell him after you get through doing what you do, but go show yourself to the priest. Look at what he says now. See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Listen, once again, and here's what I love about this. Jesus is saying, listen, it's all right for you to say you're healed and you have the evidence, but once you go to the priest, and the priest examines you, the priest is now a witness, and he's also going to be one of the ones who will publish taking your name off the list of the leprosy and putting you back as a viable means of fellowship in society. And in other words, what he's doing is he's taking your name off the blacklist. Where folk don't want to have nothing to do with you, don't want to come close to you, don't want to have fellowship. And if the priest say you're clean and the priest say you're all right, the community knows you're all right and can have fellowship with you. And then listen to this. And now, when you do this, you are certified. That's why I like to tell people, listen, because we're still operating in the secular realm, especially when we receive anointings, healings, deliverances in the spiritual realm, God's power is so perfect that it can stand the scrutiny of those who claim to know what they're talking about. So here's what I'm saying. If the Lord healed you of diabetes, go back to the doctor and let the doctor tell you you ain't got diabetes. If the doctor heals you, Jesus heals you of cancer, go back, let the doctor search you out, take x-rays, let them bear witness to the fact that, listen, you've been cured. The Lord doesn't have a problem. When he does something, he does it well enough so that the most discriminating taste will have to agree there's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. And when you've been touched by the Lord, listen at this, the Lord don't care who examines you. The record will still hold true. You've been saved. You've been cleansed. You've been delivered. You've been healed. You've been blessed. And they can't do nothing. Oh, I wish I had some believers in the house. Do you know how it makes me feel when I get a report how the doctors took x-ray and they knew something was there and the saints got a healing and they went back and the doctor took more x-rays and they say, scratching their head. We don't understand. It must have been a glitch. But the old x-rays showed the glitch. But since you've been healed, touched, delivered, you go back and you re-examine and the glitch is gone. It's called healing divinely so. It's called deliverance divinely so. And once the Lord touches you, can't nobody touch you again like that. Somebody give him glory in the house. He's able. Any witnesses in the house? Tell somebody he's able. Now listen, tell the Lord, if you will. You can make me clean. And this is what I love the Lord. The Lord will always say, I will that you be clean.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org.